Ezekiel 20. In the seventh year, fifth month, tenth day of the month, some of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yahweh, and they sat before me, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord, is it to inquire of me that you've come? I will not be inquired of by you. So God remembers to this day the exact date when this incident happened. And very often you find this with unspiritual people, that they want other people to sort of do their religious stuff for them. They come to Ezekiel and say, well, can you pray to God for us? Can you inquire of God for us? Well, of course, God is open to our prayers for other people, absolutely. But he does want us to pray directly to him. You remember Simon, the false magician, he says to Peter, or can you pray to God for me that this judgment is not going to happen to me? And you think, why don't you pray to God yourself? This is the trouble with religion. It's sort of thinking that I can get the priest or the pastor to do it for me. And whilst, as I say, we can pray for others, and we should, we must pray directly to God. Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. In other words, you come asking Ezekiel to pray to me for you. No, look, recognize your sins. In the day when I chose Israel and swore to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them, saying, I am Yahweh your God, in that day I swore to them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. I said to them, throw away every man the abominations of his eyes, and don't defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh your God. But they rebelled against me and wouldn't listen to me. They didn't throw away the idols of Egypt. So they took the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea. But even when they were in Egypt, God told them, get rid of your idols. Then I said, I would pour out my wrath on them and accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. So God thought about destroying them when they were in Egypt because of their worshipping of Egypt's idols. But I worked for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among which they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. So it's as if there's two sort of poles, two sides in God's personality. On one hand, he wants to destroy them because they've sinned and have got these idols in Egypt, but he works, his other side, as it were, works against that and says, okay, I'll bring them out anyway. I cause them to go forth out of the land of Egypt. So you see there God's struggle, and you see it in Hosea when God says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? My repentings, my changes of mind are kindled together within me. So God is not, as it were, made of stone. He's not without emotion. He really wants to save us. So he says, I brought them out of Egypt. I gave them my laws, which if a man does, he shall live in them. I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They didn't walk in my laws, which if a man keep, he shall live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said, I will pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to consume them, just as he had thought to destroy them when they were still in Egypt. But again, I worked for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations. So again, the pole of his desire to save sinful people, even though they're so unappreciative, still worshipping idols, that works against the part of him that wants to destroy. And it is that side of his character that, as it were, wins out, that is stronger. But you see there how God has got real conflict within him, that the fact he forgives and saves is not sort of automatic at all. That he doesn't just decide, well, okay, I'll let you off this time. He struggles over it. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, because they rejected my laws, profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. So they were worshipping idols in the wilderness. Now, Stephen, quoting from Amos, talks about this. He says that they carried the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of their god Remphan, in addition to the tabernacle of Yahweh and the standards of the tribes that they were supposed to carry as they marched. They also carried all this stuff to do with idol worship. Now, Israel going through the Red Sea, Paul says, is like baptism. We came out of Egypt, which is like the world, and we went through baptism, the water, and then you come out in the wilderness, and you've got to walk through the wilderness of this life, and then you enter the kingdom. But we can take with us the idols of Egypt. We can smuggle them, as we think, through the waters of baptism, and that's what they had done. Nevertheless, my eye spared them, and I didn't destroy them nor make a full end of them in the wilderness. I said to their children in the wilderness, don't walk in the ways of your fathers. So this is a radical challenge to youth, to not necessarily be as your fathers, depends of course how you were brought up, but the way of young people is quite naturally that I want to be independent of mum and dad. I want something new. I don't want to just carry on how they did. And here you have it, in this radical call to live a radically devoted life to God. That is the way to be different in the end. Make my Sabbaths holy, I told them, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh. But the children rebelled against me. They didn't walk in my laws. In other words, now they just carried on like mum and dad did. They profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said that I would pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand. Yet again, he struggles within himself and worked for my name's sake that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I brought them forth. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations because they had not executed my laws and had profaned my Sabbaths. And their eyes were after their father's idols. So they didn't break free from the ways of mum and dad at all. I probably thought they were, but they weren't. Moreover, also I gave them statutes that were not good and ordinances in which they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts because they caused their children to pass through the fire that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know that I am Yahweh. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, that is to these elders who had come to him, saying, or could you pray to God for us? Tell them, thus says the Lord, in this, moreover, have your fathers blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land which I swore to give to them, then they saw every high hill and every thick tree, and they offered there their sacrifices and the provocation of their offering. So all their idol worship provoked God. Just as if we worship idols, we provoke God. Then I said to them, what does the high place where you go mean? So its name is called Bama to this day. Now it seems that Bama was what the Canaanites called their high places. And they should have destroyed those high places when they entered the land. That's what they were told. But instead, they eagerly use them for worship. Therefore, tell the house of Israel. This is those who had come to Ezekiel saying, could you pray to God for us? Do you pollute yourselves in the way of your fathers? In other words, come on, don't just live out the expectations and the way of your mum and dad and your ancestors. Be radically different. When you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, do you pollute yourselves with all your idols to this day? Shall I be inquired of by you, house of Israel? Remember, the elders are sitting in front of Ezekiel saying, can you inquire of God for us? Shall I be inquired of by you, house of Israel? I will not be inquired of by you. And that which comes into your mind shall not be at all, in that you say, we will be as the nations, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. Surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out will I be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples, will gather you out of the countries in which you are scattered with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there will I enter into judgment with you face to face. Like as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I enter into judgment with you. I will cause you to pass under the rod. That's like the shepherd counting his sheep one by one. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and those who disobey me. I will bring them forth out of the land where they live. But they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. So you see there how God's purpose was that out of all this mess and this rebellion, he would save a remnant. So it's always been like that. Israel was a small nation anyway, and yet it was they who were chosen out of all the families of the earth to be God's people at this time, and yet even out of them, only a remnant were to be saved. So don't expect there to be large numbers of people in any group of people at any point in history who have been God's people. As for you, house of Israel, thus says the Lord, go, serve each one his idols, if you will not listen to me. So he's almost encouraging them. He's saying, look, if this is the way you want to go, then walk in it. It's like, because people receive not the love of the truth, Paul says, God sent them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And positively, God will confirm us in the way of the spiritual life, if that's the way you want to go. In my mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, there shall all the house of Israel serve me in the land. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your offerings. As a pleasant aroma will I accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries in which you've been scattered. You shall know that I am Yahweh when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country which I swore to give to your fathers. There you shall remember your ways and all your doings in which you have polluted yourselves, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. So the idea is that they were to return and repent. Well, the call for the exiles to return eventually was made through Cyrus, but very few of them did return, and the few who did were not at all repentant. And yet God's intention was that they would hate themselves for their sins, and you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways and corrupt doings. So he wants them to repent and to hate themselves for their sins and realize that actually God has not punished them according as their iniquities deserve. So I think that what that shows is that repentance is the end intention of God. In all that we suffer, he does want us to come to him humbly and to realize that he is not a hard God, that he has not punished man according to what our sins deserve. The wages of sin is death. In the day that you eat the fruit, you will surely die. That was how it all started. We've all sinned, and yet we are still alive. And while there's life, there's hope. But what he wants is humility, and there's very few who are willing to accept that, to really accept that indeed I have sinned. Please have mercy upon me. And that God has not punished man, and particularly Israel, according to our sins. He has punished us, as Ezra says, less than our iniquities deserve. And it's that humility which is required. Whereas the proud man will say, nah, God's a hard man, God's unreasonable, God's this, that, and the other. And all that arises from a lack of personal repentance, from a lack of having been personally convicted of our unworthiness and of our sinfulness. And it's impossible really to have a living relationship with God unless you make that repentance, unless you recognize that, unless you humble yourself. And the world in which we live is increasingly proud. And you can't seem to talk about repentance without people saying, oh, you have upset me. Do you know how much you upset me? And it's not that we're going around being cranky with people and picking holes in their lives, but the call of the gospel is a call to repentance. And without it, there will be no further spiritual progress.